Well, one day is Thursday, July 24, 2025, and this is the week and charts. I just want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I continue to do a poor job of getting the word out, but I do a show every Thursday, believe it or not. Obviously, thank you guys again. So what are we talking about? Well, current market conditions and your questions on trading, and just let me know if you have any favorite stock or crypto picks you want me to take a look at. This week, I'm going to focus mostly on the methodology in action. In fact, I had so much material, I actually ran out of time putting it all together. So there's a few things I want to touch upon this week and a couple of things I just want to skim over. But there's so many things and some things I'll catch up on next week is what I'm trying to say. There was so much that happened. And like last week or week before, I said, you know, it's not really exciting. But it's like, wait a minute, that's how you make money, by buying the stocks, by following the plan, by taking those initial profit targets, by trailing those stocks, stops. And then, of course, the stock selection going in is vitally important. So the piece that was missing for me, like I've said many times before, 30 years ago, was the seeing the methodology in action, or seeing someone actually pick a stock and then follow it through, see each position through its fruition, like we talked about last week. So although it might not be the most exciting thing in the world, making money is exciting, and it's a whole reason we're here, and that's what I want to show you. And sometimes you lose money too. That was a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading. Was often summing up all predictions about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. Here's all my contact information. Obviously, shoot a screenshot of it if you're interested. If you're not interested, go have no fun somewhere else. I'm half kidding. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. And with this nice little, and I know I said the word bull market earlier today, and that's probably a dangerous thing, but with this nice bull market intact so far, check back often, we've had some nice opportunities. And I also want to really get into the peak trough analysis, and that's what took me a long time to put together. It was a little harder than I thought it would be. But anyway, we'll get to that in just 1 second. So a new mystery chart for this week, a nice longer-term uptrend intact. Look at the Landry Light. We've got 54 bars of Landry Light vis-a-vis 30 EMA, which has become my favorite moving average. And I know you want to party with me. And that means that the lows have not touched that moving average for a long, 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 long time. Nice little TKO type of move. And there's the parameters down below. Entry of 29.50, protective stop of 23.50. Initial profit target, that's IPT of 35.50. Or risk of 6 points. And that sounds a little ludicrous. Even ludicrous would say that's ludicrous. But that's what it calls for based on the volatility of the stock. So the entry is here, stop is here, and the IPT is here. So far, no trigger, but we'll see how things shake out, obviously. Now we have a mystery chart reveal. This stock was in a nice longer-term uptrend. Also, you had lots and lots and lots and lots of Landry Light, as you can see, about 50 bars where that low never touched the 30 EMA. By the way, as I've said before, I've been thinking about like a one pattern challenge. It's like we put together a team of guys and girls, and we just trade one pattern, and that one pattern would be Landry Light pullbacks. And it would be a little bit of a kind of a mentoring type of thing where you would check with me and whether or not I approve the setup. I think that this would really work, and I have it all put it together. But I think that like some kind of guarantee by the end of the thing is like, if it didn't work out for you, fine, get your money back or whatever. But I think it would be a really good thing to do. And like I said earlier, the missing piece for me, and I got really lucky early on, I work with a successful stock trader, and I was helping him pick stocks and find stocks. And eventually I was doing a lot of the stock picking myself for him. So it kind of gave me a chance to fail, so to speak, and we will fail a lot in this business, believe me, even after you've been at it for a while. But it helped me to get a lot of that bad behavior out of the way early on. And just seeing someone actually do the trading really helped me out just absolutely tremendously. But anyway, nice persistent uptrend remains intact, pulls back to the moving average. And that's when the Landry Light goes to zero. Remember, Landry Light goes to zero when the price bar intersects the moving average. And then you actually had a couple of bars of Landry Light below. But the trend was so strong, I wasn't too worried about that. There's your parameters. Entry here, stop here, additional profit target up here. And it is TGEN, T-G-E-N. And I'll follow up with that one in upcoming webinars to see how it does. So here's a mystery chart reveal. And entry was here, stop was here, initial profit target up here. Let's see what happens. Nothing, it did not trigger. So no capital was put into harm's way. And that was N-A-G-E. That was a recommendation from a week and a half or so ago. And by the way, if you want to see all of these, you can go to davelearner.com/archives. You could also check my YouTube channel, YouTube/Dave Landry. Anyway, here's a mystery chart update. This is VG, was recommended recently, first recommended on 6/27/25. And you can see it was in a kind of a gradual uptrend. It began to accelerate higher nicely. Notice you had nice Landry light. Also, bigger picture wise, you had a cup and handle pattern. I don't trade directly off of classical technical analysis, but I do use it as kind of a backstop for my setup. So if you have a big cup and handle, a big nice cup and handle, and then you've got a nice little Landry light pullback or some other pattern like a TKO or whatever, then that kind of helps to kind of give you a bit of a backstop, so to speak, or kind of helps to, a better analogy, I guess, would be gives you a little bit of a wind in your sails. Anyway, you can see Landry Light goes from 30 or so down to zero as the stock pulls back. Entry was here, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. And so far, not so good. You can see so far it's failed miserably. We're already down 1,080 per 100K. So we should bail out, right? No, no, I'm going to stick with it. We'll see what happens. And yeah, it might suck. So far, it sucks. But you can see there's an open portfolio right there down 1080. Now, remember, as you'll see in some of these other ones in here also failed miserably early on. Doesn't mean that they always will come back. Sometimes they won't. That's why we use stops, right? So here's a mystery chart, or actually not a mystery chart update. Nice acceleration, nice persistency. Pullback almost to the moving average. It's a pullback, though. If we were doing the one pattern challenge, I would say that's close enough to fitting the bill for that particular pattern. The market doesn't always work in exacts, as you know. All the parameters are listed down, or actually you can look right here, BTM, because it's already triggered. And this is another one of so far not so good. It triggered and it made a big move higher. It's kind of off to the races and we're feeling kind of good about it. And then it came back in again. So I'd use the word hope, but hopefully this one will work out. And either way, I'll do a dead money report because you were instantly making money, then you were losing money, then you were making a decent amount of money, and now you're back to losing money. And the initial profit target is up there. So this week, I'm not going to get into a million little things, but one of the million little things we talked about is knowing the nuances of a methodology, and that kind of dovetails in with see each position to its fruition. So you definitely want to try not to micromanage yourself out of positions, even if it is painful. And part of the nuance thing is it's the occasional outlier where you get paid. As I've said 1,000 times, like right around now, because things are doing really well, I'll probably get a couple of emails saying, Dave, I'm quitting the service. It's like, why are you quitting? Well, because I can't make any money. I lost money on, you know, God forbid this BTM, but let's say some prior winners recently, you know, prior losers recently. I lost money on XYZ and ABC. It's like, okay, well, did you get TFPM and KGC and KTOS and, you know, all these other ones that are doing really well? I know I didn't take those, but I took those turds you recommended. It's like, well, you know, like the cat inside of the PC meme, there's your problem. Anyway, so far not so good, down $356 on the position. Now here's an update on KTOS. You can see nice accelerated uptrend, also a persistent uptrend. It doesn't look quite as impressive because the scale is so big now, thank God, because we had such a nice move out. But you can see this another one of these Landry Light pullbacks, started out as kind of a TKO, turned into a Landry Light pullback. I'll talk about TKO in a minute. When it goes down to the moving average again, the Landry Light goes to zero. There's all your parameters. The entry was here, the stop was here, initial profit target was right here. Now, this is on a hypothetical 100K account. I do take these positions myself, and I do take them across multiple accounts, but I have one account that I've kind of dubbed my model, and that's where I take close to the exact position size, whatever I recommend, and then I'll take that just to show you that the trade that I actually took, the trade actually works. And then, like I said, in other accounts, I'll do something very similar. When the IPT is hit, you want to bring up your protective stop to break even. So that happens intraday. We don't adjust stops intraday unless we hit the initial profit target. I know I say this a lot, but I'm going to keep preaching it. And again, it's really good to see this stuff in action so you can see that it can actually work. So per 100K, you're going to bank $1,000, 1% is what we're looking for in the first loaf, and many, many, many percent, hopefully, on the second loaf. And then after that stop is to break even and you bank the $1,000 or whatever the case may be, depending on your account side, trading 2% if stopped out, okay? Then you begin to trail your stop somewhat loosely. And the idea is to let it widen out so you can capture that longer term trend. Now, keep in mind, if you do this properly, and I don't know what the HV was when we got in this one, but I guarantee you that it's grown since then. So if you do this properly, if you're trading properly and you're catching trends, catching momentum, then A, that momentum begins to accelerate higher as it did in this case, okay? B, the price gets higher if you're buying stocks, right? That's a good thing, right? And as these things happen, that increases the amount of price drawdown is needed. And you're also trying to adjust to the longer term volatility. So if everything goes right, the volatility of the position will increase as the all these aforementioned things happen, the acceleration in trend and the price goes higher. So you want to slowly open up your stop to adjust to that longer term volatility. And I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully stay with the position for a long, long time. And that's the secret sauce. And someone who is way smarter than me, way smarter than I ever be, he was running an Forex arbitrage fund. And we were on a project together along with Greg Morris and a whole bunch of who's in the industry. Larry McMillan, I'm trying to think who else was on there. Just you name somebody. Tom McClellan may have been on there. We had options people. McMillan, I think, was one of the options persons. I definitely know that he was. But anyway, it was interesting that this gentleman that was running this hedge fund said, you know, it's kind of cool what Dave's doing. He's trading with a tight stop, a relatively tight stop, actually, shorter term, but he's sticking with the position and taking profits and trailing the stop. And he was very impressed. And I was very fortunate. This project didn't last. It was a $40,000 newsletter. And I think we only had one or two clients. And it wasn't because lack of performance. I think it's probably a little bit of lack of I don't know. It's kind of, you hate to play the blame game. But anyway, it was a lot of work for the people that were running it. And they needed marketing and all kind of other things. But my claim to fame with it, and I know this is kind of bragging, but so proud of it, is when I met Larry McMillan in person, I stuck out my hand and I told him who I was. He goes, I know who you are. You were on fire in that project. And I was on fire. And the brief story there is Peter Moffey asked me to join. I said, Peter, you don't understand. I might go weeks and maybe even months without any recommendations. And the only way we got paid was to recommend something. So there was a little bit of incentive to put something out there so you can get a piece of the pie. And I said, look, I might go a long time without setups. He goes, you're the exact guy we want. Don't invent trades. And so, wow. So that was, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this. And I was a little nervous, I think, to start to put up that first trade. And I waited till everything kind of lined up. And then I put up the first trade and it worked. And second trade, it worked. And then we ended up in kind of a bit of a bull move at the time. So it wasn't that I was a genius. It was like the momentum was happening and I was able to get in and capitalize on that momentum. Kind of like we're doing now, knock on wood, you know, it's always whenever you feel good about trading, you know, you're getting ready to get the rug pulled out from under you. But anyway, so far so good on this one. We've got $1,000 banked. We've got $2,300 and change open, and we'll see how it shakes out. KGC, this was a dead money report recently. Entry was here, stop was here. initial profit target was there. And this thing gave us nearly 2 months of not making much or any forward progress. In fact, on a net basis, almost 2 months, you could see it was negative, which leads one to think it's dead money. I better get out. But the thing to do is to follow the plan. And we were able to bank $1,000, get the stop to break even, and $600, $680 open as of a few minutes ago. TFPM, another one of these ones that's kind of a dead money type of report. And if you go in, if you can't sleep at night, go in and watch last week's presentation for the weekly charts. Or if you go to, I have a YouTube playlist, and it's YouTube/Dave Landry, and you can find it. It's called Methodology in Action, where I take the methodology in action portion of the weekly charts, which is going to be the most of the weekly charts this week, and I put it in as a separate video, just so you could see things shake out. But in this case, if you go in and watch last week, we were down like $1,600 at this particular point in like a week. And that's kind of hard to stomach. And as I've said before, the old me, it had been really, 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 really hard for me to hold on during such a drawdown, and such just hard to look at a losing trade every day. And it's hard to follow that plan and stick with it. Now, of course, you're going to get occasionally stopped out, but for me, the pain of missing out is much worse than FOMO, fear of missing out. And the pain of missing out, or POMO, as I sometimes call it, is when you're in a stock, or you want to be in a stock, there's something you like and you forget to take the setup, or you decide to micromanage yourself out, and then that stock takes off without you and you should have been in it. That is an extreme pain. And I'm not going to bring it up because it's pouring salt in somebody else's wounds too. But I did have one stock that I would have made $1 million on had I stuck with it, maybe even 2 million, but let's not go there. And I think about that one every day, especially whenever I have a loss. So you can see that one kind of turned into dead money, but we're still long. And the stock's at break even plus on this one. And so far, based on a mark to market, 1742, which is much better than a poke in the eye. Now, this is something I wanted to do for a while. Whenever the market has a hard sell off and it eventually recovers, I like to do a postmortem on how the system did, okay, and how I did following the methodology through the ups and the downs. So I went in and grabbed the S&P here and the portfolio on this day here. That was 229.25. And we were down $408, and there was only one position left in the portfolio. And I'll come back to that quite a bit in a minute. But you can see minus 408 is where we were. And that's where that number comes from. Now, the market, as you know, sold off very hard. In fact, for all intents and purposes, that was a bear market, okay? Now, the media defines bear market as 20%. It went 22% peak to trough, so it was a bear market. Now, at the bottom, the portfolio was worth $6,674. However, there were a couple losses taken along the way. The KGS, which we were long, stopped out, and you can see that's 922 times 2. And then ALLT, another trade that we were in along the way, stopped out too. So we had $3,718 in losses. Now you take off the 408 that we marked to market. So that's $3,306. And you take that from the $6,674. Hopefully this all makes sense. And that gives you an equity change of $3,368. So remember, the market lost 22% of its value. And during that period of time, we made, in the model account, the hypothetical account, okay, but I do take the trades, 3.37% versus a 22% loss. Now, Dave, 3.3%, what's that? Well, it's better than a poke in the eye, and $3,000 and change for every 100K is better than a poke in the eye, right? But you got to look at that versus a 22% slide. Now, you got to be careful with this fuzzy math, but that's a 25% improvement over the overall market. So if you just follow the market down, you'd be down 22% as opposed to being up 3.37%. Now, by following a methodology and stopping out and being selective on positions and putting on some shorts on a very selective basis, not going hog wild, just in case it doesn't turn into the mother of all bear markets, which it didn't, you're able to sleep at night and actually make a little bit of money in a downturn. And this is just, I'm very proud of this. Not that this will always happen, but if a market stays in a longer term downtrend, it will. And this was a tough time for a trend follower because the market just started going down hard and then it comes right back. But being able to sleep at night is a great thing. And there's an old saying, if you're able to keep your head while everybody is losing theirs, you obviously don't know what's going on. But in this case, I think it is a way to keep your head, because you're going to be mostly short in a situation like this, possibly buying a few defensive stocks, gold if it sets up. I think I didn't actually buy any personally, but the Landry 100 during this spill was becoming more and more defensive. I think there was a tobacco in there. There was some grocery stores. We talked about these things in webinars past. But anyway, so I'm pretty proud of that. Now, as you know, the market came back. It doesn't always come back. Well, so far it's always come back, but that's taken up to 25 years and people are like, oh, that's crazy. Market always goes up. Don't believe me, look at some charts and see. And 25 years is a long time, believe me. Anyway, so to get back to 0% losses for the overall market, took a few months, but we did it. Now, this is how the portfolio shook out during this time. And there was a loss of, these are banked, okay, trades or closed trades, however you want to look at them, for a loss of $562. But remember, we marked to market the 408. So that's a loss of 154. Now, if you take a look at the portfolio on 6/30/25, and again, these archives, DaveLandry.com/archives, YouTube.com/DaveLandry, and you can look at these. You can look at the newer ones on YouTube. And if you join the trading service, you can look at the live ones every day. Hint, hint, soft sell there. Anyway, so you take this amount of money from the open portfolio, and that's gives you an open profit of $2,472. So overall, we did okay through that spill. The thing you need to realize is trend following is trend following, okay? And you have to have a trend to follow. It's very hard for trend following to beat the market when you have these V-shaped recoveries like this, okay? Trend following works when the market goes into an extended bear market and then goes into an extended bull market. Any type of trend. I think Gary Kaltbaum once said, give me an uptrend, give me a downtrend, or give me a ticket to Tahiti. I agree. The thing about trend following, though, is obviously when the market is chopping back and forth like this, like it was, you're not going to get a lot of setups. And that's what your equity is going to kind of look like, kind of choppy, probably actually down a little bit. But here's the thing. You notice we were only in one stock going into this slide. And that's because during this chop, I just wasn't seeing a lot of setups. Probably got stopped out a few. So your equity might be a little bit more negative in a choppy market, but eventually it'll flatten out because you get stopped out of most of your setups and become selective. In fact, you might be stopped out of everything and just sit on your hands for weeks and sometimes even much longer. Now, when a market does begin to tank, especially if it's been doing really well and then tanks, okay, your equity curve is going to take a dive with it. But what's going to happen is you're going to begin to stop out, and then you can begin to put on shorts. So you can see right here, the equity curve, this is a hypothetical equity curve, but it begins to look something like that. The equity curve begins to go up as the market goes down because you're shorting. Now, let me just throw out a big caveat, okay, or a warning. Short side is very difficult to make money on, okay? It's hard to hold onto a trend because the short covering rallies, easy for me to say, are just very vicious. I mean, look at this one day here where the market just sort of melted up, and that really punished the shorts, present company included. And you can see when the market does begin to turn like that, you start getting stopped out of your shorts because you're still following the prior trend, right? And you're gonna follow each position or hold each position to its fruition. We're not gonna micromanage ourselves out because we think the market might be turning. We're gonna wait and see. Trend following again. So as the market begins to rally, then your equity comes back with it. Now, this is something I was gonna kind of talk about a little bit with a million little things, which we'll get back to next week or weeks, some other week. But the thing is, that's part of knowing the nuances, knowing that you're not always gonna make money doing this. In fact, there will be extended periods where you don't make money. There will be extended periods where you have to sit on your hands. And like I said earlier, you're going to have to take every setup, okay? Because you don't know which one or ones are going to turn into the big winners. As Greg Morris often says, that's one of the problems a lot of people have, is they sharpshoot signals. And when Greg was running $5 billion or so dollars, they, as he said, we treat all signals as if it will be the big one. So if it's a signal to get out of the market, they get out of the market, okay? And that's what they do. They just follow the system. Now, the market obviously has been trending higher again, knock on wood, check back off to the right. So this was a snapshot I did intraday yesterday. And we were at 26.26, right where the market got back to zero. And now the market's moving higher. You can see that those numbers are looking a little bit better because what? The market so far, knock on wood, has been trending higher. Now, one thing I do want to show you, and this is from a webinar a few weeks back or a few months back. This was one of the stocks that was in the portfolio that I mechanically scored as a loss, but personally I did okay. And also, not to pour salt in anyone's wounds, I did beg everybody, I think, I have to go and look at the presentations, but I did seem to remember that I talked a lot about the fact that you need to think about taking those partial profits a little early. The market just doesn't always work in exacts, okay? And I lay out this exact plan, and you should follow it mechanically if you're newer to trading. But once you wrap your head around the methodology and the money management and the psychology of following it all, then it's okay to apply a little bit of discretion. So we got fairly close to that initial profit target, but just didn't quite get there. So I went ahead and thought it was okay to bail on half the shares and then the market gap lower. And I got knocked out of the rest. So this is what I call a near miss. And in this particular case, I think we were just like 20 cents away or so from the IPT, which based on the price of the stock is really not that far. And remember, on the first low per 100K, you're looking for 1% or $1,000, okay? And in cases like this, you might be up 850, 900 or so. And that's not where the real money is. The real money is in the second loaf, where you become the longer-term trend follower. We change hats from the swing trader to the longer-term trend follower. And not to beat a dead horse, as I do quite often, But my problem with a pure swing trader or a pure short-term trader is you don't make enough money because every now and then you get whacked. You can see like this market here, I'm pointing to my screen, but like right here, you can see we had a big gap lower, and that's what caused the loss. Now, you need to ask yourself, how far has the stock moved toward that IPT, initial profit target? In this case, it was fairly close. Okay, you could argue, well, Dave, it wasn't like 1 cent away. It's like, okay, I hear you, but it was fairly close. The other thing to ask yourself is how fast did it get there? So this was almost kind of straight up over one, let's see how many days. Let's see, one, two, three, four. Within a week, you were almost there. So that to me is kind of a gift horse situation. And remember, let's say you're only locking in $800 or $900 in that first loaf and you're trying to get 1,000. Well, hopefully, and I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully on that second loaf, that's unlimited. So you can make a lot more money. Yeah, you don't want to eat like a bird and shit like an elephant, like the commodity boys say, okay? And that means taking little bitty profits, little bitty profits, little bitty profits, and then taking huge losses. And I was tempted to do that this morning on a position where it's like, oh, I've got this instant little profit, but the prior day I lost quite a bit. And it's like, oh, well, let me just get some money so at least I got something on that position, right? Well, no, follow the plan. And the point I was trying to make there is you're always going to be subject to temptations. So on that trade with the discretion, like I said earlier, it was a loser, but I was able to use a little discretion on this. And this doesn't always work, okay? But in this particular case, it worked out nicely. Use a little discretion and actually make a tiny bit of money on that versus losing money. But that equity swing from a whatever it was, a $900 loss or whatever it was to an $800 gain, that's a big swing. That's like a 1.6% swing in your portfolio, and that'll make a big difference. So that's the those are the actual trades there. It's definitely a gain versus a loss. That's a big swing. So that would have been factored in to that performance of the peak trough analysis. The point I'm trying to make there is a little discretion can really help you out a lot. Okay, I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on Landry 100 today, but the bottom line is speculation is still alive and well, as I've been saying quite a bit. All of these stocks were bought at brand new highs. And you see this one, TMC, and my slide is off. 414 was back here. I think it was on this day here. So this should be right there. And it took off immediately, but then it came right back in. And then it subsequently took off afterwards. Now, that's kind of a good example of why you don't want to, if you're going to trade breakouts, unless we get into a rip-roaring bull market like 1999, you want to make sure you have a big list of stocks, like in this case, 100. And I don't know how small this list could possibly be. It'd still not have that problem. Jeff of the group. In the Facebook group, and he's a client. He has he knows a lot more about statistics than me, and he seems to think that number could be much smaller. I just figured 100 is a good round number. And this has been a wonderful thing. I rebooted this. I did this years ago, and then I just recently, or I should say, it's been a year or so. And the point is, I'm trying to proof of concept, trying to prove a lot of proofs of concept, such as momentum begets momentum. Unfortunately, momentum does end badly. Breakouts are prone to failure, but if you buy enough of them, you do okay. I've known a few breakout traders who have abysmal accuracy, but every now and then they catch a few big winners. Kind of, it's just like us. That's all. That's another nuance of trend following. But anyway, this one's up 184% since April 14. And you can see it's had a pretty good run. So this is the day it was bought on that right there from this arrow. But you can see after a pop up the next day, which was looking fantastic, it came back in hard and you were actually underwater quite a bit. And that's the thing is you never know when that correction is going to come. That's the danger of buying these breakouts. But if you buy enough of them, especially when the market's blowing and going, you'll do okay. Now, speaking of market blowing and going, as I've said 1,000 times, and I'll show you a couple here in just 1 second. In a market like crypto, if Bitcoin, the bellwether there, obviously is doing really well, and the shit coins, SHYT, are also following suit. The inefficiency of those shitcoins or altcoins is fantastic to where you can go in and actually play the breakout. And I'll show you that in just 1 second. So what good is this thing? Well, like I said last week, is there a way to capture these trends intraday? I've been experimenting with it a little bit, and I might actually have to admit I am experimenting a little bit with volume buzz. I know I'm not a big fan of volume, but someone who I wasn't sure was, what's the right word? I don't know if forthcoming is the right word, but I don't know. Jury's still out. Traders usually don't brag. If you ever see me bragging, or I get excited, but I don't brag because I know I can get my ass handed to me any minute. But this particular gentleman was bragging one day because he said he uses volume buzz and he's buying stocks that are up. I don't know about the volume buzz part. I do believe that there is something with relative strength. And with relative strength, you're just looking at the highest percentage gainers of the day, and you're looking to get into those stocks. Now, if the market is blowing and going, this would actually print money. And as I've said quite a bit, I had one client, took my Landry list, stayed in the top five every day, and he did this over two periods of time. And both of those periods were just, the market was just going straight up. I don't know if one was 99 and when the other one was, but I know one was probably 99. You can make a lot of money playing the relative strength like this. But if the market gets choppy, or if it's anything less than the mother of all bull markets, then not so much. But anyway, I'm just kind of noodling with that to see if I could make something happen. And I've had mixed results with it. When it works, I feel like I'm a genius. But then when it doesn't, I'm like, Dave, what are you doing? You know. So let me experiment with that a little bit more before we get too excited. One thing that's kind of interesting with this, when I started breaking it down into the sectors, I was able to see where the money's flowing, okay? You can see here, it helps, like I said a second ago, it helps to show the money flows. But the interesting part is that biotechnology is a big hunk in here, actually the biggest hunk, unless you count the metals and the gold as one, and then that's close to 20% of the Landry 100. But biotechnology is a big slice. And what's interesting is if you look at biotech overall, especially like the IBB, and we'll take a look at it in 1 second, but there's a lot of overhead supply there. So I wouldn't rush out and buy the IBB. But what's interesting is over this period of time, the biotechnology on an individual basis, the stocks have been, I've been seeing more and more and more setups there. So looking internally, biotech has been doing really well, even though the overall sector has its issues. And obviously gold and industrial metals and minerals have been doing really well too. So there's the breakdown. One of the cool things about it, and I know I'm a nerd, but I'm starting to see some cool little trends develop again, especially in some really small areas like the small scale nuclear. There's just one stock in here, but if you look at some of those stocks, they're doing really well. And another example would be these, and I don't know exactly how to describe them, but electronic stocks or semiconductor type of stocks that are involved in like SDLP, I think would be one of them. These power stocks that are somehow related to the batteries and other type of things. I don't know exactly what you would call those stocks, but I think it's a SDLP is one. No, SLDP would be one of those type of stocks. And it's the Landry 100. So if you look at Landry 100, you can see those stocks in there. So those smaller areas that are developing trends could offer some huge opportunities. And I think by maintaining this momentum list, it's going to help me and my clients, obviously, find these particular stocks. So I do publish the Landry 100 almost daily in my Facebook group, which you have to be a member of Dave Lander. You have to be a member, a gold member at least, of DaveLander.com. Anyway, a lot of the things I just said are here, so no need to go through that again. Okay, I want to go through a couple of trades for Crypto Corner And then we're going to jump into the live charts. Now, last week I talked about this one, and like I said a minute ago, sometimes with crypto, when everything's moving, now keep in mind, you have to be patient, but you really don't have to be that patient. It's like a bull bear cycle in crypto is about every 6 weeks. Now, if Bitcoin can keep on keeping on, maybe everything can get into a bull cycle, hopefully not a bear cycle. But the good thing is you're able to go in and play these altcoins over and over again, because it's like they don't all just go and then implode, and then you're in a bear market for years or whatever. It's like they go, they implode, and then they rinse and repeat. And you could do really well with a little money management, of course. Now, last week, I admitted my guilt on this one. I bought it on 16th or 17th. And it was I was anticipating a breakout, and I may have gotten a little early. Possibly I could have waited a little bit more, an extra penny maybe, or half a penny. But I thought it looked pretty good. I thought it was worth a shot. And then not a whole lot happened the next day. And then the following day, I woke up and I checked my phone, and I'm like, oh, cool. I hit the initial profit target on that. So that's cool. 20% is what I've been putting in for the initial profit targets. If you look at the trading service, if you look at the spreadsheet, I added recently, or it's probably been 6 months, but I added in the percent, the stop is away, the initial stop is away, which gives you the initial profit target. And that varies per position. And I can, if you go back and look at those spreadsheets, you can take a look at that. DaveLandry.com/archives or YouTube/DaveLandry. Core methodology playlist. But anyway, in crypto, I just put in a 20% IPT. Technically, I probably should be doing some volatility analysis, but this just seems to be working for the time being. Now, at 20%, I'm going to take off half of the position and bring the stop on the remainder to break even. Anyway, so I admitted my guilt last week. I forgot to place the order. So when I got to my office, I'm like, gosh, darn it. And that's exactly what I said. I didn't say mother, father, or anything. I completely forgot to do it. Now, it's not big bucks. Okay. I think it was just $1,000 of this thing. But you don't want to get sloppy, even on a small scale. You can't get a little bit pregnant. You don't want to start those bad behaviors. Now, fortunately, this morning when I woke up, I know I put the order back in, and I woke up this morning, I was like, okay, we finally hit that IPT, thank God, and now I'll stop out, worst case, at break even on this. Now, as I've been saying quite a bit, when I do these initial profit targets, I'm doing all this in a very small way, and I would suggest you do the same thing in crypto. I've seen some people do some big stuff, and you can get into a lot of trouble really fast, so I would keep it small in crypto. But in this particular case, small position, like $1,000. But what I've been doing is I've been mining off, so to speak, a small crumb of that on every winning trade like this. So $25 at the IPT. And then on this particular one, for instance, I put in another $25 to come out when it's a double, okay? Because sometimes these things will just spike higher, like crazy spike. And it was one a while back. Like every double, I'd take off another $25 or whatever. And through the process, it's like $200 or $300 extra that went off to Bitcoin. And the reason I call mine to Bitcoin is because if you were to actually buy a miner nowadays, unless you bought a really expensive one, it would actually lose money. It's very hard to make money mining Bitcoin, especially in today's day and age. Leave that to the professionals. So here is Ripple, which is another one that was making brand new highs. And again, it shot up 20% and sold half at 20%. Technically, I should be stopped out right about now. I'm still in a little bit of that or half of that, and we'll see how it shakes out. And once again, $25 gets mined to Bitcoin. Okay, let me shift gears and we'll take a look at crypto. So this is the XRP. It kind of dipped below the entry. Technically, I should have gotten out, but you know, admission of guilt here. And so far, it's bounced off of that. Kind of looks like a TKO. It actually looks pretty good right now. Here's this kernel thing. And hey, what did I just say? Okay, just for shits and giggles, I put in a, I didn't quite get there yet though. I put in an order at 30 cents to take off another 25 bucks. And then I'm just going to keep doing this with these altcoins just to pull a little bit off here and there and put in the Bitcoin. Now, I don't have any money management in place with the Bitcoin. Right now, I'm just kind of gathering some assets there, trying to mine, so to speak, from these altcoins. Should they ever turn into anything for real, then I might have to manage the position a little bit better, but I don't want to deal with capital gains or anything like that. So we'll just let it run and see what happens. And it'll be a fun experiment. And maybe a couple of years from now, we'll actually have one whole Bitcoin. You know, who knows? We'll see from the process. But anyway, like I said, when they're really going, blowing and going, you could just sort them by the strongest and look for ones that are towards the top of the bar and just buy them as they're going out. Now, keep in mind, again, you're going to have to use some money management, because like, look at this thing here. This thing doubled from the breakout, but then it's already starting to come back in. The bug man was here yesterday, a young kid, nice guy. And he's looking through my office window and he's like, "Are you a trader?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I just downloaded this new app." I forget the name of it. He goes, I put $2 in trash coin." I'm like, "Okay, let's take a look at trash." And trash coin was headed higher, but he's following some TikTok guru, which I told him to be careful with, obviously. Anyway, the point I was making there is this euphoria in these altcoins, and you've got a lot of people, you know, trash coin. What is that? That's probably trash, right? It's just a made up thing. And you have these people chasing the market. The market reflects its participants, okay? And you've got a lot of people. Look at that one. Now, how did I miss that? Okay, so this here's some POMO here, pain of missing out. I should have caught this. I don't know why I didn't catch it. But you can see that it had a nice breakout back here, starts making new highs, little Landry light pulling away from the moving average. So again, I was probably working on my slides or something when that happened. Usually staying busy keeps me out of trouble, but every now and then I miss. Oh, there's that trash coin. So far so good for that gentleman, I guess. Anyway, I don't see anything to jump into at the moment. That looks sort of interesting. It's got some long tail, so I don't know how much volume there is in it. But again, when these things are really gone, you could just buy the ones making new highs. It looks like it comes back to a million little things. How did I miss that ORA or whatever that one was? This one looks kind of interesting. It's beginning to pull back a little bit. That could set up fairly soon. Kind of a TKO-ish type of setup. But anyway, you kind of get the idea. Sometimes when these things are just going up, you can just buy the ones that are going up. And of course, you have to be willing to use a little money management. All right, any questions on that? Anyone want to look at anything there? And while we're at an impasse, I'm going to go ahead and shift over to stocks. So here's the Landry 100. And sometimes you can just come in, like I said, if the market's really blowing and going, and just buy these stocks as they're banging out new highs. But as a general statement, I'd recommend you don't do that unless we get into a rip-roaring bear market, bull market. Freudian slip there. All right, let's do this. Let's take a look at the overall market. If there's any individual stocks you guys want me to look at, just let me know. All right, S&P 500, we're at all-time highs at the moment. Check back often. So far, so good. We've taken out this recent peak in here nicely, and we're headed higher. So far, again, so good with that one. NASDAQ Composite at new highs at the moment. Check back often. What I like here is this nice persistent uptrend so far remains intact. EFA shares, they got the memo. That's the world shares or the world international shares, however you want to look at it. Outside US, I think would be the correct term to use. Nice little breakout yesterday. Coming back in a little today, but the breakout so far remaining intact there. Rusty 2000, this thing never fails to disappoint, huh? It's like yesterday, it was off to the races, looking pretty good. Looking like it was going to push through this overhead supply. Today, it's coming right back in. Robotics and AI have pushed through all this fluff, and they're at or near all-time high, so that's certainly a good thing. Cybersecurity is losing a little steam in here. So far, its breakout remains intact. I'd like to see it bang out some new highs sooner rather than later. Gold, the commodity, it's been a little sideways as of late. It tried to break out a couple days ago, and I think that's when we hit the IPT on the KGS. Gold stocks looking a little bit better, not too far away from those brand new highs. So that's certainly a good thing. Broker dealer has been doing really well. Nice day today so far. So far, so good there. Biotechnology stalling out a little bit. Didn't quite get through all this overhead supply. But like I said earlier, in spite of all this overhead supply, I'm seeing a lot of momentum internally there. Software right at brand new highs, although I would like to see it get past this prior peak decisively there before getting too excited. Defense right at brand new highs. So far, so good there. I guess all the wars and shit going on in the world. Most areas looking pretty good. Within the metals, there's lithium. Uranium has been looking pretty darn good. Look at that, brand new highs there. Metals overall, new highs yesterday, coming in a little today. But so far, again, pretty good there. Semiconductors looking pretty good, although I like to see them get past this prior peak decisively. And they've lost a little steam lately. They've pulled back. I'd like to see them break out and not look back. Alternative energies have been improving, but you can see they've got their work cut out for them. Lots of overhead supply. So make sure if you go after anything here that you're looking for stocks that don't have tons and tons and tons of overhead supply. So overall, things are looking pretty good. Financials, brand new highs, a lot of areas at or near new highs. So overall, markets looking okay. Not all is great in the world. There are some weak areas out there. I wouldn't say the market's firing on all eight cylinders yet. But here's a good deal, good news. If it's firing on six or whatever, and it's making new highs, wait till those other cylinders kick in. Those other sectors that are lagging begin to improve, and because a rising tide lifts all boats, eventually, at least. All right. Any questions on anything? Sorry about the slide issue. I'll be to see if that can be fixed in post. Yay! I have something to do today. All right. Well, obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. Anything and answer, DavidDaveLandry.com. Again, thanks everybody for attending, and may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.